It's good to see everyone tonight, that God has blessed us and spared us and being able to assemble again tonight to look into another portion of God's most holy and divine word. I have prayed already for the lesson, that it reach your mind and heart in a way that you remember the lesson, but at the same time it edifies us and builds us up and make us stronger in the Lord. I haven't switched my subject. I'm still going to preach on those last two sermons. I'm going to deal with the moderations from the translations. That'll probably be Friday night. And tomorrow I'm going to deal with the subject of hand clapping, because I've been asked several times already, when are you going to preach that one? So I'm going to do it tomorrow, Lord willing. But tonight we're going to look at a subject that I preached on about 2 years ago. The congregation in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, wanted to run a series of lessons dealing with why are we divided against one another. And we wanted our institutional brethren to understand why we can't do anything unless it's by the authority of Christ. And so we preached on several subjects that dealt with, like, for instance, eating in buildings and taking money out of treasury and abusing it and things like that, and entertainment. And my subject was, may the church provide entertainment for its members. That was my subject. So I thought I'd just bring that subject to your hearing tonight, because entertainment is an innovation. It is. Because it's something that God's word does not authorize us to do. There's nothing wrong with watching football or going to football games or enjoying yourself in a recreational manner, but the work of the church is not involved in that. And some of our brethren don't seem to get it. They just don't seem to do it. And we have lost several members because of that, because they want to go back to fellowship meals and things like that. And they're going to have to give account to God for it, because my responsibility as a preacher is to preach the gospel of Christ. And I just hope and pray that those who hear the gospel of Christ will have an open heart to respond to the truth. So let's get into this lesson tonight, dealing with may the church provide entertainment for its members. And what I'm referring to here is the local congregation, by the way. So we'll look at this subject. Now, I learned that from looking at this lesson last night that on my computer, it didn't seem like everything was on the computer. You know, not everything seen in that block. So I hope it is tonight, and I hope you can get a good understanding of this subject. So let's get into it real quick and see what God's word has to say concerning this. The first thing I think we need to recognize is worship. We need to define worship. Well, what is worship? Well, when you turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 4, we learn what Jesus said in that text. And I put the scripture here so you can see it. You may have a different translation tonight. And it may say a little something different, but the King James translation says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and the truth, for the Father seeketh him to worship them." And then the next text says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." That is not, we don't worship angels, we don't worship man, we worship God. On several occasions in the New Testament, we read where there were individuals that told others that they need to worship God. Like, for instance, the angels in Revelation chapter 21 said that. Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 10. Worship God. Well, we need to show omniscience. We need to be reverence ourselves when it comes to serving God. And God is the one that we are worshiping and pleasing. We're not trying to please ourselves. You see, some brethren got it wrong. They think they come to church to be served, or to gain things that they like to hear and want to follow. But no, we go to worship service to worship God, and we pray that our worship is according to the New Testament teaching, without any addition or subtraction. But you look at chapter 4 and verse 23 and 23 on 4, God wants us to worship him. He created us to worship him. Man is going to worship something. If it's not God, it might be a rock. It might be some idol. It might be money. It might be something else. But he's going to worship something. That's just something that man does. God made us that way. But the best thing to do is to worship none other than our God above in heaven. That's who we need to worship. So let's look at something else concerning this lesson here. I want to talk about what is the mission of the Lord's church. Now, I have been in many Bible discussions when I was in Memphis and in Sturgis with people who are members of the church, but they did not understand what the work of the church is. Thank goodness that you, brethren, here understand what the work of the church is. And there are other faithful brethren all over the United States that understand what it is. But I'm sad to say tonight that there are some brethren who don't know what it is. They think that if they have entertainment, that's worshiping God. They would say something like this. Well, Carl, well, you're saying we can't have no entertainment. Well, we do. We know we come to the building to worship God Sunday morning. But after we leave the building Sunday morning, we can go back and we can have fellowship meals and everything else. And we can have entertainment because that's not part of the work. That's not part of the church to do. That's separate from the church. Well, they seem like they understand what it means, but they're still wrong. The work of the church is not entertainment. Fellowship is never used in the Bible or in the New Testament to refer to fellowship meals or the way our brethren use the word. It's always spiritual, not physical, but spiritual. And some of them don't recognize that. So what is the mission of the Lord's church? Well, let's notice a couple of things I put here. One is many brethren, as I mentioned earlier, have a misconception of what the work of the church is. So we need to recognize that some believe and teach that the church can get involved in almost anything. Yes, basketball teams, football teams, daycare centers, anything they want to get into. Ladies' anniversaries that we talked about last night and praise teams that we talked about already and many other things they believe they can do. Ask them for book, chapter, and verse. They don't have them. They don't have it because there's no book, chapter, and verse in the first place. But some brethren are really believing in this today. There was a lack of spiritual understanding on the part of some of our brethren. And so the question I want to ask is God pleased with that? The work of the church, brethren, is evangelism, edification, that's encouraging, maturing, brethren in the body of Christ, benevolence, discipline, restoring erring members who go astray and bringing them back to the Lord, and keeping them faithful. Did you notice I didn't say anything about fellowship meals or recreational activities that the church may get involved in because there's no scriptural authority for it? Don't get me wrong. If you want to get together, some of these brethren here, y'all got one brethren here about 6'8", and I don't know, and a few other brethren here about 6'4", and 6'5". I would love to play basketball with those brethren, but it's not the work of the church. We can do that on our own time. And I'll probably beat all of them, by the way, you know. But, that may not. I'm getting old myself now. I have to be careful now. But anyway, I just threw that in there for free. But anyway, you know, we can do that on our own time. You can go to the movie theater on your own time. You can go to recreational places on your own time. But don't put it with the Lord's church. Don't add it to the Lord's church. Don't let it represent that. That's what some do. And I think that's what makes it wrong in the sight of God. And I believe this little simple lesson here tonight needs to be heard by all our brethren that are institutional in this whole area. They need to hear this lesson tonight. I'm glad you brethren are taping it because you might want to pass it on to someone that you're talking to about institutionalism. And I believe this lesson will help. Let's move on here. Another question I want to ask is, what is the work of the church? Again, I go back to that question again because it's very important for us to understand. Well, here's the first thing that tells us what the work of the church is. If I can get to there, we go. And it's simply edification. Now, what is edification? The best example that I came up with, the best knowledge, I could just say the best point I came up with, is that an edifice is a house, and the word edification originally meant building a house. Here it is used in building a house within or building up the Christian spiritual house or promoting growth. That's the way it's used in Ephesians chapter 4. It's building up. But it's not physical that he's talking about. It's spiritual that he's referring to there in that text. And that's where some of our brethren go wrong, but that's what it's referred to. Then also notice that edification is one of the major purposes for the church assembling regularly. Well, there are scriptures to prove that. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 26, for instance, where it uses that word building up. And that's the purpose of coming together so that we can build up one another through songs and hymns, through the word of God, through prayer. That's what we do. Now, in verse 26 of this chapter, 1 Corinthians 14, Paul said, how is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you have a psalm, a doctrine, have a tongue, have a revelation, have an interpretation. He said, let all things be done unto what? Unto what? Edifying. What is that? Building one another up. Or building up. Like it was used in Ephesians 4 and verse number 12. That's why we assemble together. We don't come together to be entertained. We don't come together to entertain each other. We come together so that we can exalt one another and build one another up. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25, I believe the writer's Paul, and some may disagree, but I believe the writer's Paul, and in that 25th verse of that chapter, it just simply says, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exalting one another, so much as the more you see the day approaching. We exalt one another when we come together. We build up one another by listening to the word of God and teaching God's word in Bible classes and from the pulpit in sermons. That's what we do. And then notice also here that edification is the work of maturing spiritual babes so that they may come unto the unity of the faith, so that they no longer be children tossed to and fro by the winds of doctrine or the doctrines of men. God wants his children to be strong in the Lord. He wants us to grow and mature. In Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, Paul is talking about the spiritual armor that every Christian should wear. And you'll notice in that 6th chapter and verse number 10, he says, finally, my brethren, be what? Strong in the Lord and the power of his might. What did Paul say in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. See, that's our purpose of coming together. Some brethren today would tell you, you don't have to do that. You can come together for any kind of entertainment, and you're not doing anything wrong. Well, these scriptures here prove otherwise. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 13. And you'll notice he uses the word strong there in that verse. Paul is warning these brethren at Corinth. And he says, and the word watch ye here just means be on alert. He says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith. That's the doctrine of Christ, by the way, the New Testament teaching. Quit ye, that means be brave or strong like men. And then he says, be strong. Now, I put in my notes in my Bible, be strong here means to grow strong, to continue to develop strength. And, of course, it's referring to a spiritual sense there that we ought to be growing in the Lord daily. And the only thing that can help us to grow, brethren, is the word of God. How about Acts chapter 20 in verse number 32? And I believe Luke here, being guided by the Holy Spirit, he tells us what God's word does for us. Notice verse number 32 of that 20th chapter of Acts. It says, and now, brethren, I commit you to God and to the word of his grace. Watch this. Which is able to do what? To build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. God's word can build us up. But in order for that to happen, we have to study the Bible, which I talked about Sunday morning. We must continue to search the scriptures and learn God's will. So are you being edified? Here at this congregation, are you being edified, those who are visiting tonight, where you belong? Are you being edified? Are you growing in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Well, that is something that we need to do. If we can just get our brethren to understand, get rid of the entertainment, and then you can start growing spiritually, then we won't have these problems that we have. We won't have the division that we have. Shouldn't be any division among us, but we have it. And let's notice something else. So we know that the work of the church is edification. Well, let's notice the next thing. Edification, still looking at a little bit more. Edification, again, is encouraging the maturing members. Now, I won't read all these scriptures. Now, I'm not going to read all of them. But if you wrote down 1 Peter 2:2, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may what? Grow thereby. Acts chapter 20, 32, I read that one. 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Rightly dividing, cutting straight God's word. Acts 2 and 42, these brethren continued in the apostles' doctrine. That's what we need to do today. Paul wrote in Hebrews 5, that these brethren should have been mature in the Lord, but they were not. They were babes in Christ. And there's a time for immaturity. There's a time to be a baby. I shouldn't use the word immature, but there's a time when you're a babe in Christ when you first obey the gospel. But sooner or later, you're going to have to reach the mature stage in the Lord as you study and grow in Christ's word daily. That's what edification involves, brethren. It's not dealing with education like teaching people math and science and geography and all of that, because some congregations do that now. I read several times where their congregation or our brethren meeting together, they come together for studies of social studies and studies like this in math and English and things like that, when they really need to be studying God's word so that they can grow and reach maturity in the Lord. So edification is what the Lord wants. And then let's notice something else here, evangelizing. And I know some of you brethren sitting here tonight say, you know what, Don and many other preachers, Brother Lewis and other brethren here preached on these subjects many times. But you know what, brethren, they never get old, because as long as our brethren are still going astray by doing things that they have no book, chapter, and verse in, then we need to keep edifying our brethren and keep these young people in this congregation edified on these issues, because they're going to have to deal with them sooner or later. Because there are a lot of brethren who don't believe they have to do these things. But let's look at evangelizing for a minute. And, of course, there are many scriptures we can go to for this one. But 1 Timothy 3:15, you know, you hear people say things like, I went to Florida College, so I learned how to preach at Florida College. You shouldn't have to go to Florida College to learn how to preach at all. Congregations are the ones that are the pillar and ground of the truth. They can teach the young men to be preachers. They can teach the man and put him in the right direction, teach him how to work on the Lord's table, teach him how to lead prayer, and things like that when it comes to the service of the Lord. They shouldn't have to go to Florida College. I did not go to Florida College, by the way, to be a preacher. I just went to Florida College just 1 year. But I hear sometimes, preachers talk about Florida College like they really made me a good preacher. You need to be studying God's word and growing in his grace and knowledge daily. And congregations can do that. And that's why I put 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 15 on the PowerPoint, because the church is the pillar and ground of the truth, not some organization, but the Lord's church. And when you go to 1 Timothy 3 and look at that verse, and it's a very familiar verse, by the way, it says, but if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God. That's the family of God, by the way. House of God means family of God, which is the church of the living God. Watch this. The pillar and the ground of the truth. Ground here refers to support. The New American Standard says support instead of ground. And then, of course, other translations say other different things, but it's the pillar as well. And if you know anything about a pillar, or you know anything about of ground, we know exactly what Paul is talking about. We hold up the truth. We defend the truth. We stand on the truth. No one else should be doing that except the church. In Luke 19:10, Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. We have a responsibility to get the gospel to lost people. Acts chapter 8, what happened in Acts chapter 8? Well, Acts chapter 8, the church persecution came against the church, and those brethren were scattered abroad. But what did they do? Well, Acts chapter 8 tells us that they went everywhere preaching the word of God, teaching God's word. Look at verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. That's our responsibility as members of the church. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 3. A text that I like is 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where Paul said, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel of Christ. That's in verse number 16 of that ninth chapter. He understood his responsibility to get the gospel out to those lost in sin. And if you want to read about conversions to Christ, then read the book of Acts. And you can read of about 9 or 10 conversions in that one book alone. And you learn how they come to Christ and how that they spread the gospel, how Paul went on those 3 tours carrying the gospel of Christ as he preached in other areas, starting congregations and all from his preaching of God's word. The Lord's church is the pillar and ground of the truth, not a college, not some other organization like some missionary society. No, it's our responsibility as Christians to do this. The local church may support its own evangelists. Not only must the church do that, but also support preachers in other places, like you, brethren, are supporting me in Pine Bluff, Arkansas, and supporting other men as well that preach in other places. This is scriptural. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 10 that those brethren supported him in his preaching of the gospel of Christ. In verse 10 of that fourth chapter, he wrote this to the church at Philippi. He wrote, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me have flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity." Then you look at verse 14 of that chapter. "Notwithstanding, you have well done that you communicated with my affliction." And then look at verse 16. "Even in Thessalonica, you sent once and again to my necessity." That's scriptural authority for supporting the preacher who's preaching the gospel of Christ in foreign countries or other places, or right here in the United States, or right down the street. Of course, you want to make sure that he's faithful, of course. But see, that's the work of the church. It's evangelism. And then here comes the other one that most of you well-taught brethren here know about already, and that's benevolence. That's benevolence. Benevolence for the members of the church. And I don't have to spend a lot of time on this because most of us are familiar with it. That's just helping the needy saints in the Lord. The church of the New Testament did not render benevolence to everybody, but some of our liberal brethren do. Now, we have, and y'all probably have too, experienced brethren coming, not brethren, but yeah, brethren coming in sometimes, or people coming off the streets asking for help. They have done it to us many times in Pine Bluff. And they always turn it over to the preacher. I'm the one they say, "Oh, I need something to eat." There he is over there. And send them right to me all the time. I'd be trying to send them back to somebody else, you know what I mean? But anyway, when they come in, they say, can y'all feed us? Can y'all help us get some gas to go back and get back on the road and head to our destination? And we have to tell them, we can help you, but it's going to be individual. We cannot do it out the Lord's treasure. We have no scriptural authority for that. And so me or whoever it may be, they want to eat, we take them to a restaurant, feed them. I never give them money. No, I work too hard for my money. They're not getting my money. I would take them. They need some gas. I'll take them and use my car and put some gas in their car. I've done that several times. But we cannot go in the church treasury and take money out of there and help them. And there are brethren in this town as well as other places in the United States that would go in the treasury in a heartbeat and take money out of there and help those people. But we have no scriptural authority to do it. I remember Brother Blanton telling me one time about a fellow that needed a meal. He came over there to that church building saying, "Can you feed me?" Brother Blanton just bought some groceries. He opened his trunk up and he said, "Oh, yeah, I'll give you something to eat." He gave him a can of sardines. "Oh, I don't eat sardines. I tell you what, if you're hungry, you eat the can if you're hungry enough." He said, "I don't eat sardines." Well, he wasn't hungry enough then, was he? But he fed him that way. See, we have to know what the Bible teaches, brethren. I'm going to show you a point right here as we go on in this lesson. Notice this right here. The church of the New Testament did not render benevolence to everybody. Did not. Now, in Acts chapter 11... in verse 27 through 30, there was a drift that was throughout the world, of course. Now, the brethren did not send relief to the world. They sent relief only to the brethren in the body of Christ. Turn to Acts chapter 11, you'll see it. In Acts chapter 11, look at verse number 27. And the help that they sent was for Christians. That's what they did. They helped Christians. They just didn't help everybody because this was worldwide. And they did not do that. And some of my brethren don't like this either. They say, "Y'all just cold-hearted brethren. I thought you loved the Lord, but you're so cold-hearted, you won't even help a brother that come in." I said, "Yes, we do help them. We just help them individually." Galatians 6 and verse 10 say, "Do good unto all men, especially those of the household of faith." So we want to do what God's word says, but we have to recognize what the Bible teaches when it comes to the law of God. Now, looking at verse number 27, it says, "In these days came the prophets from Jerusalem and Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there shall be a great drift," if I pronounce that right, I will have trouble with that word, "throughout all famine, all throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar." Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the whole world. No, they did not. It said it sent relief unto brethren which dwelt in Judea. And they were brethren. And you can see that in Acts chapter 2, verse 44 through 46. You can see it in Acts chapter 4, verse 32. You can see it in Romans chapter 15, verse 26. You can see it in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1 and 2, where they took up the offering to help those needy brothers in Judea. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I'm saying this because this is being recorded. That's why I'm calling off the scriptures. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1 through 12. And then 1 Timothy 5, 16, dealing with the widows that qualify for the church to help. Notice it's not talking about individuals who are outside of Christ. God leaves that to the individual Christians to do that. And that's our responsibility. So when you look at all these texts here, individual Christians, however, should render aid to any and everybody to the extent each one has opportunity to do. Not the church, but each individual. And this throws our brother in the loop. They just can't understand how we do something like that. They say, we just can't understand that. We seem like we ought to be able to help these folks. Yes, but God's law says no when it comes to the treasury. And the treasury is what's being abused more than anything else today from our brethren. They're buying these multi-million dollar entertainment places and multi-dollar buildings for exercise and all kinds of things today, for fellowship halls and things like that, and gymnasiums. Yes, gymnasiums too. Thinking it is good in the sight of God because it's a good thing. But what does the scripture say? That's my question that I will ask them. Now let's look at this next section here dealing with this subject. Let's talk about the work of benevolence was never used as a means of introducing the gospel. Brethren, that's a big problem with some brethren today. They use the gospel to bring the people in. I mean, not the gospel. They use entertainment, to bring the people in. You know, we have a cat now that comes to our house, and this cat will not stop coming to our house. I made a big mistake of feeding that cat one day. He came to our house, and I went out there and fed him one time. So my wife told me, say, don't feed that cat, because you feed him, he's going to be hanging around here all the time. I didn't believe her. So I fed him one time. Next time, meow, meow. Every day, I said, hey, what's wrong with this cat? He was running the streets here before I fed him. Now he's here. I'm going to make a point about that. Our brethren are just like that. Look, if you're going to have to get them in with entertainment and food and folly, you're going to have to keep using it to keep them there. That's right. You feed them with it, you're going to have to keep feeding them, or they'll quit on you. And that's how it is with many brethren today. But let's talk about this introducing here. First of all, let me make sure I get this right. First of all, benevolence is the fruit. Now, I love Brother Roy Carr there, what he said in this text. Now, I want you to listen at this carefully. Some of you might have heard this before, but listen. Benevolence is the fruit of Christianity, not the means of propagating it. See, our brethren, they have it twisted around. They say, we're going to use food to get them in, entertainment to get them in, and then we'll teach them the gospel. God's word never said that. God's word said, use the gospel to convert them and get them in. Don't use any other thing. And that's what some of our brethren are doing. Food and clothing were never offered by the early church as a means of getting people to hear the gospel. I never read of it one time in the New Testament. Did you notice that the brethren that did share with other brethren, they were members of the Lord's church, weren't they? They weren't non-Christians. That's something we need to keep in mind. Food, clothing, entertainment should never be used as a means of getting people to obey the gospel of Christ. It should be teaching them the truth of God's word. Paul did not take a contribution of food and clothing with him from churches to churches when he went to Europe for the first time. He didn't do it. I tell you what he did took. He took the gospel of Christ with him. That's what he took. And they obeyed the gospel of Christ. Multitudes today. Multitudes follow our Lord for the wrong reason. Remember what happened in John chapter 6? When Jesus fed these people, they were following him for the food. They were not following him because of what he taught. They followed him because he fed them. And I'm going to read this real quickly. This is John chapter 6. And the verse is number 29. So if you have it, I'm going to read it. And I do appreciate you, brother, in turning to these scriptures. It shows me that you really want to listen and that you want to read what God's word says. And listen, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Now watch verse number 30. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou? They wanted some sign. And they used this poor excuse about our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread and meat. But then notice what he says in verse 33, for the bread of God is cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto you. And then you notice he tells them that he is the bread of life. But in that same chapter, and you have to look at verse 66, I put down 66, but you have to read it, and I'm sure you are familiar with it. You notice that in verse 26, they were following him, but they were not following him because of what he did. They were following him because he fed them. Listen, Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat the loaves and were filled. And that's what's happening with our brethren today. And that is what's happening with many people today who call themselves following Christ. The gospel of Christ must be taught. It must be preached. It must be believed. It must be obeyed. It has power to save man from his sins. God calls man through the gospel of Christ. He doesn't call them the other way except through the gospel. And the gospel can save a person if they're willing to obey what it says. But let me get to the last point of this here lesson here about the entertainment part. Now, since I talked about what the work of the church is, let's quickly talk about what about entertainment? Well, first of all, it is a part of the work. Is it a part of the work of the church? I believe from what we saw so far, we see that it's not. Some brothers seem to think so. But here's something I want you to remember. What does the Bible say? 2 John 9. I know you heard me quote it many times, and you'll probably hear me do it a few more times before I leave. But whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine hath both the Father and the Son. Whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all by the name, that is, in authority of Christ. We have all things that pertain to life and godliness. We don't need no subtraction. We don't need no addition. Jude 3 tells us to contend for the faith that was once delivered by the saints. We have the perfect law of liberty in our hands tonight, James 1:25. We are told in Revelation 22, don't add or subtract from my word. There is no excuse for our brethren doing the things that they are doing. But let's hit this point right here. What is not the mission of the Lord's church? Since I talked about what it is not the mission of the Lord's church to be a social club where its members come together simply for entertainment or socializing. Now, we do socialize after service, yes. Yes, we do. We need to. But that's not the way our brethren are using it today. They're not doing it that way. They're using other means to do this. We can do the socializing and all this here and recreation thing. We can do that at home. We can do that with someone else's home, but that's not the work of the church. It is not the mission of the church to provide recreation for its members, that is, for especially cottage kids, and I'll show you what I mean by that. Pool tables, ping pong, recreational activities. This is what our brethren are doing today. When I left Starkville, Mississippi, the church, the liberal church there, had set aside a special room attached to the building for all the cottage kids that went to Mississippi State so that they can spend time playing pool, ping pong, and recreational activities. See, that's not the work of the church. They're taking it too far. That's not what God wants them to do. It is not the mission of our purpose of the church to provide rallies and politicians and things like this, but you see brethren doing it today. That's not the work of the church. Our duty as Christians is to reach out to those who are lost in sin and bring the lost to Christ. That's what our brethren need to understand the work of the church is. Now we'll close with this one. Y'all don't heard Don said, I'll close. I'm finna close. And preachers, one thing preachers always do, there are two things we do all the time. One is we'll tell you to turn to the text. By the time you get there, we're gone somewhere else. The next one is I'm finna close. This is it. This is the last point here. We're good at it. But this is the last point. Why the church can't provide entertainment for its members. Let me lay these out and let you look at them. First of all, it's not a good work because it's not pertaining to God's word. It does not pertain to life and godliness. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. It can't be done in the name of the Lord. Colossians 3:17. It is a transgression of the doctrine of Christ. It is going above that which is written. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 6. It is a doctrine that originated with men and not our Lord. It can't be done by faith. Romans 10:17. So faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It is an addition to God's word. And really, brethren, that's really all you need to know. And you take this lesson, you can take this lesson, show these things wrong. Look at this, Social meals, entertainment, singing groups, recreational activities, drama classes and plays, dedicating babies. They're doing that too right now. Hand clapping and worship. That's tomorrow. Daycare centers. Let me see what else. Secular education. Family life centers, orphan homes and hospitals, ball teams and things like this. Sisters leading in prayers and leading in taking leadership positions and when it comes to Lord's Supper. Females deaconess, embracing denominationalism. That's what our brethren are doing right now. They're trying to copy off these denominational churches. That's why they're doing that. And God's word does not authorize it, and we have no command to do it. You know, there's one church that I read about. I kind of wish I was a member of that church. You know what they used to do when the preacher had been there about 4 or 5 years? They give them an anniversary. All the members of the church, 100, 200 some members, come up there and pin money on the preacher. They pin it on his jacket. If he can outdo the wife, he can keep all the money. And I said, boy, I should have been in that one. They just let them pin that money on me. And that's just so silly. And they called it his anniversary. We don't read anything like that. If anybody deserved anything, it should have been Paul. Think about what he did, his suffering, his steadfastness. But Paul didn't want that. He just wanted to please the Lord. And that's what I hope and pray that you, brethren, would do as well. So let's remember, God's word doesn't say anything about entertainment. It has nothing to do with the work of the church. And once our brethren understand that, we can have unity like we need to. Thank you.